30 years as an agent, I didn't ever, ever not settle a deal or make a deal. I had a 100% accuracy rate, a 100% completion rate in settlements, he later testified. From Ovitz's point of view, it was hard to know what, if anything, Eisner wanted him to do, since nearly every initiative he embarked upon was thwarted, either by Eisner himself, by Litvak or Bollenbach, or by people who nominally reported to Ovitz. As Ovitz later put it, every time I went to do something, someone pulled the rug out from under me. Even Ovitz's hard work seemed to backfire. At one point, he got a breathless phone call from Jane Eisner. I wanted you to go to Disney so Michael wouldn't have to work so hard, she said, obviously upset. I'm doing the best I can, Ovitz said, but it's not easy. He won't delegate. You're there Saturdays, Sundays. He can't keep up, she said. What are you talking about? He doesn't have to keep up. It's causing him stress, she said. If you're there, he feels he has to be there. Jane, talk to him, Ovitz said. That's ridiculous. But it dawned on him that it wouldn't make any difference what Jane said. Eisner saw Ovitz as a competitor to be vanquished, not an ally, friend, or partner. Unknown to Ovitz, it's clear that Eisner felt he had made a mistake hiring Ovitz even before he began working at the company, and had already decided to fire him. In any event, that's what Eisner told Sid Bass just 5 weeks into Ovitz's tenure. The only reason he didn't fire him immediately, Eisner told Bass at the time, was because he thought Ovitz would commit suicide. Eisner later testified that Bass was mistaken, and the conversation took place later in Ovitz's tenure. It isn't clear where Eisner came up with the idea that Ovitz was potentially suicidal, but it didn't come from Ovitz. Eisner later testified that suicide was on his mind because he and Ovitz had just seen the Broadway musical Rent, in which one of the characters commits suicide. Eisner told me that a fragment from the poem Richard Cory by Edwin Arlington Robinson, which Eisner had studied in college, was on his mind. The poem addresses the paradox of a town's leading citizen, Richard Cory, who, one calm summer night, went home and put a bullet through his head. Even then, Eisner indicated to Bass that he was only going to keep Ovitz for another 12 months, and that he'd have to be fired no later than October of the following year. Eisner complained repeatedly to Bass that Ovitz was unethical, untrustworthy, and that he had suggested lying as a modus operandi. Eisner had also expressed his reservations about Ovitz to Tony Schwartz, which surfaced in a draft of the book Schwartz was writing. Nothing interested Ovitz so much as deals. During his first several months on the job, he suggested a litany of possibilities, among them buying the Seattle Seahawks, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the record company EMI. I was loath to dampen his entrepreneurial instincts, but in each case, when we ran the numbers, they did not come close to making economic sense. Faced with these facts, Ovitz would back off, but only after considerable time had been invested in due diligence. The more relentlessly he pursued deals that ultimately made no financial sense or failed to take account of how his actions would go over with our other executives or made choices about how he operated that I believe